Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports, Lisa Roman. On today's episode, we're doing a live United States Women's National Team recap. They won 3-0 against Haiti, where there's a lot to get in through here. And it's not just going down the scoreline and the goals. There were some incidents for us to talk through. And we got to absolutely show love to Haiti because that was a phenomenal matchup we just witnessed between these two sides. Before we do that, though, we have a special announcement that we wanted to share here with everybody on the live. We're Attacking Third is nominated. We are nominated for the best female hosted podcast category in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And we appreciate all that you do for us. And we hope that you enjoy our show enough to nominate us to advance to the final round. So to nominate Attacking Third, you have to go to podcastawards.com/app/signup and then toggle down the female host podcast category. And the whole process takes about 60 seconds. And we're going to include the link at the top of the episode description as well. So please, if you have the time, go on ahead and vote for us. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Attacking Third. We're also available as video. So subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird for previews, recaps, exclusive interviews. And of course, whenever we go live, Lisa, here we are, buddy. We're back doing this one again.
We are here. We're doing it. The U.S. has won, but there's a reason why I dubbed Haiti as my dark horse throughout Group A, throughout the tournament, throughout CONCACAF W, because this team, as everyone just saw who watched this match, is coming to play, is coming for a fight. They've got grit. They've got this blue-collar work ethic where they don't stop for anything. It doesn't matter how many goals the opponent has scored, whether it's one, two, three. This team does not quit and will never back down from a fight. And that's something that really put the U.S. to the test throughout this match. So I'm so jazzed to jump into it and talk to you about everything that really went down. And as you mentioned, you know, everyone go vote for us for the best female hosted podcast out there in the sports world. So thank you everyone for listening. But
there's a lot to like celebrate today, right? There's a win for the United States Women's National Team. There's this nomination that we're sharing here, and we're also like celebrating like this performance that we just witnessed from Haiti. It just really feels like a growth, a next level sort of moment here for that particular program. But let's hop right in. Let's get into it because there is not a minute to spare, because I know if you are all as invested in this tournament as Lisa and I are, you're trying to get to this Jamaica versus Mexico game. I mean, hello, I know I am. I came ready. So let's get into this game. We got to start with this first half. We had the starting lineup drop for us. Lisa, any surprises for you there? What was maybe something that stood out for you when you saw the names drop for USWNT?
After the two Colombia friendlies, we heard from Vlatko Andonovski that he was really only assessing two positions for his starting lineup. He had nine players locked into their roles. The only two question marks were the number nine center striker role, whether it was between Ashley Hatch and Alex Morgan. Alex Morgan gets the start tonight in this first CONCACAF W match for the U.S. No surprise there. She had the better of the games between Hatch and herself, but against Colombia. She is in incredible form right now. I think it was more for Vlatko just to see if Hatch could do it and beat her out in this type of thing and make sure Morgan was ready. Alex Morgan, completely ready, deserved the start. And the other position he was questioning was the goalkeeper role between Alyssa Nair, a veteran who has won World Cup, won an Olympics for the U.S., and has so much experience in that back line. She's also one of the veterans on this roster. Or Casey Murphy, goalkeeper for North Carolina Courage, that only had five caps coming into this match. No international qualifying experience, and Casey Murphy gets the start. I think it was well deserved by Casey Murphy, right? This is, we're seeing a new leaf being turned over by Vlatko Andonovski, really gearing and targeting himself towards this newer generation of players. And Casey Murphy had a fantastic couple of matches in November against Australia when the U.S. traveled to that team to Australia to play in those two friendlies. And Casey Murphy gets the start in this one. For everyone who's joining us live, Sandra had a bit of technical difficulties. She just jumped out of the stream, but hopefully she will be right back. But those were my two biggest surprises looking at this starting lineup. Casey Murphy really having her in that in between the net. But otherwise, Becky Sauerbrunn, Kelly O'Hara, and Emily Fox, Alana Cook along the back line. In the midfield, Andy Sullivan, Rose Lavelle, and Lindsay Horan. That was a solid hold down in the central midfield. And then up front, Mallory Pugh, Sophia Smith, and Alex Morgan, who got the start in the very front. Sandra, welcome back. We're happy to have you here. Looking at the starting lineup for you, Sandra, any crazy surprises?
Yes, of course. I was very surprised to see Casey Murphy get the start in this one. Not, you know, shocked, but just surprised. You have a number one starting goalkeeper in Alyssa Nair. I was able to hear you chat a little bit about your thoughts about that before my technical difficulties decided to disrupt things. But listening to you talk about that a little bit, I'm with you. I mean, this is a capable goalkeeper. And I think perhaps some of the reasoning or the ideas behind starting somebody like a Murphy in the first game kicking off group play for this team might be a little bit of got to get this goalkeeper minutes in these right. type of game day scenarios. Are you going to start Alyssa Nair more for towards the knockout rounds? You know, they experienced that in the Olympics. They saw Alyssa Nair go out of the knockout rounds with a knee injury. And we saw what ended up happening with this team down the stretch there. So it was something where it was maybe like, is it surprising? Sure, but maybe not so jarring or shocking. But I thought, you know, Murphy did enough, you know, for this team in the first half. I do know that throughout the duration, though, of this first half, there were some pretty tense moments. I think if you're on the defensive end of the USWNT, we have to talk about these opening minutes. Maybe these first 5 minutes, Lisa, where it looked like the United States were doing what they were intending to do, which is yes. be on the ball. Be active in the attack, applying the pressure, whipping in some balls when they get the chance into the box, but not necessarily finding that breakthrough right in the opening 5 minutes or so. And you know what? Good on Haiti, because they yeah. also brought the game to the United States as well. We're talking about a very early chance for this team in the opening 10 minutes. I believe it was in the 7th minute of this match. Of course, Lisa, the fabulous producer, has the highlights here. For those of you who are with us live on this live recap on YouTube, we see just narrowly missing the far post there. Really, really good attempt by Ketna Louis. And you just have to wonder a little bit, Lisa, if this goes in, what this does for this Haiti side.
You have to wonder that, because as you mentioned, the first 5 minutes, this match was a lot of the U.S. They were putting a lot of pressure on getting crosses into the box. And that was probably the biggest emphasis for this Haiti side is in the first 5 minutes, can they keep a Chucky egg, keep that clean sheet, get into their attacking end. They end up drawing this foul, and it's a really, really great ball played in, and it's played just between that half space. So Murphy doesn't come out and get it, and Haiti is able to flick this on towards the back post. This is so close. If this goal went in, yes, it completely would have changed the game, Sandra, 100%, because then the U.S. is down, and they're fighting from behind, and at this point, Haiti can really just sit back. They don't have to expose themselves anymore going forward, sending those long balls over the top. So Casey Murphy better have like crossed her heart at that moment and just like thanked her lucky stars, because it was really pretty bad defense on the U.S. side to not track back with that player. And Casey Murphy being caught in this space, whether she's going out to grab the ball and sitting back, and she almost gets beat on the far post. That, I mean, 6 minutes in, I was like so hyped, sitting on the edge of my chair, like watching this game happen. This is what Haiti was going to bring, and we knew that's exactly what they were going to bring.
You know, just thinking about how the remainder of this game, how it went through in the first half, I wondered if maybe I posed a question to you, like what we have to wonder what that would do for this Haiti side if that goes in the back of the net. But on the other side of that, a moment like that maybe kind of jars the United States women's national team a little bit, saying like, whoa, hey now, close one, let's try to lock it in here a little bit, because we see a response happen by this team in the 16th minute. So we're talking just, you know, mere minutes later after that attempt from Haiti off of a free kick scenario. Alex Morgan getting the breakthrough on goal for this team in minute 16. And she's got two on the highlight record for this game. But neither of these goals, I think, are easy in any way. We're talking about this little cheeky back heel right there. That's a tough in it. And she just makes it look so easy.
This goal was truly, truly spectacular. She had one that was off the crossbar just moments before this. It was a bit of a header. On this goal, they're looking right now, if you're watching the video, to see if she's offside. It was maybe close. At this point in the game, we're about 17 minutes in. We haven't seen VAR used. We know that it's available at this tournament. But this goal from Alex Morgan is just fantastic. She uses the outside of her left foot. She flicks it on. It ends up going near post, and goalkeeper, that's a tough miss for Haiti to not be able to save that one. But Pugh ends up being on the right side of the field. Usually she's on the left side of the field for the U.S. And as Pugh crosses this in, it's a huge assist, a great goal by Alex Morgan. Throughout this first half, especially in the U.S. front line, it was Alex Morgan that was finding those different opportunities. And you can see that that's what a veteran player in Alex Morgan brings to this type of squad. Whereas Smith and Pugh are maybe becoming a bit stagnant or predictable in their movements. This is a moment where Alex Morgan was able to create something a little different, pop in front of her defender, go way past the near post. And that's what allows her to flick this ball on. So already Black Wendanowski's decision of A, having Alex Morgan on this roster, and B, starting her, pays off, because not only does she get this goal, but she ends up getting the second one for the United States as well.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to see this continued involvement with this dynamic between Smith, between Pugh, Morgan, sort of leading the front lines here. We see the service from Pugh, the back heel from Alex Morgan. And there's some targeting going on here for Alex Morgan by the United States women's national team. We see the plan start to develop and say, hey, they have a target forward. It's Alex Morgan. Let's try to feed her the ball. And it ends up sort of paying off in this second goal here, with Kelly O'Hara providing the service on this one. And just prior to this, a header attempt by Morgan hitting off the crossbar. And then they have similar setup and service here. And she nails this one away. Complete body completely facing the opposite direction. It's almost like another flick, but with her head backwards towards the goal. Great brace here for Morgan in the first half.
Huge. So this changed the game. We talked so much about how if Haiti was able to score in those first 6 minutes, how it would have changed things. And the U.S. Getting two up over Haiti in these first 25 minutes definitely set the tone for the U.S., right? We started to see a little bit more methodical buildup from them. They weren't pushing as hard and exposing themselves as much, but it was still not, I don't know. Like, I was expecting more fire. And at this point, the U.S. almost sat back and was like, okay, we've got this. And in that moment, that's when Haiti put their foot on the gas pedal, right? And they started to create more chaos and more movement in their attacking end that worked for them to cause chaos.
I know. I feel that 100%. You know, the goals for Morgan here, the timing of them for me are what I was looking at. We're talking getting that breakthrough after that really good free kick attempt from Haiti. Just, you know, 6, 7, 8 minutes later, getting this breakthrough goal. And then once they got that first breakthrough goal from Morgan, I'm like, okay, let's try to pay attention here and see what the team is going to do. Because we saw that missing, I think, from this, you know, these two preparation games against Colombia going into this tournament, still seeing that this team needs a little bit of time to break down the opposition, to sort of find the breakthrough goal. And then even when they find it, still struggle a little bit to hang on to that momentum. So seeing these two goals happen in the 16th and the 23rd minute, I said, okay, this is promising then for this team. They got the breakthrough goal finally before 20 minutes, and then they extend the lead with Alex Morgan just a mere few minutes later. So it was something that I was keeping an eye on because I thought maybe they're going to hang on to this momentum. But Haiti had other ideas. They had a vision in this game. And this is something that you and I had when we talked about Haiti. We have appreciated that about this team. There's something about this team that when they go into their games with their game plans, if they have to make their adjustments, they make them quickly. And all of a sudden, they steal back. They snatch back that momentum. And we saw a very important moment in the game for Haiti. Another one where they went ahead and they turned this back line on their heels a little bit. Emily Fox getting the first card of this match, a yellow issued to Fox in the 40th minute. Quite frankly, on the replay, getting beat in the box and fouling and taking down the player in the box. And quick, it was called immediately. The official made the call right away, pointed to the spot, issued the yellow. And you just wondered if this wasn't going to be the first, because we saw earlier this team try to make that adjustment, get in early. And then here they are again, just before halftime, making things interesting once more.
And this was a for sure card and a for sure slide tackle, a for sure penalty kick. This is a bad mistake by Emily Fox, right? She's one of the newer, younger players for this Vlatko Andonovski side, only 15 caps, including this match for her tonight. And this foul is unnecessary, right? Like the player gets in behind, but as she goes to make the slide tackle, the ball is nowhere near her. And that's just, it's not good enough, right? Against a team like Mexico, I mean, even Haiti, this opportunity that they almost scored off of this one was incredibly close to see, because they end up getting the penalty kick. It's Rose Lord Borghea. She has this attempt, and Casey Murphy, she was thanking her lucky stars, the first ball from Haiti that went just wide, and this one goes off the post. So even now, Casey Murphy has only made one or two saves throughout this first half, because this one ends up going off the post, and Emily Fox needs to go over, kiss that post. So does Casey Murphy, because the penalty kick was uncalled for. And then this going off the post was really lucky. This also would have changed the game if Haiti were to score, even on the follow-up. The ball is just really tough for Borghea to handle. She ends up hitting it up in the air after her first touch, and it's hard for her to get a handle of it. You can see Becky Sauerbrunn coming out of the way and also tugging that one wide after this one goes off the post.
You know, it's, again, that's another, like you said it best, it's another one of those moments where you wonder if it would have changed some things up, not just for Haiti, but within the game itself. I mean, we're talking about Casey Murphy going the complete opposite side on this PK, misreading it. The goal was wide open there. Maybe it was one of those moments where it was just, the eyes were too wide in front of you when you have the opportunity on a PK like this, but still 2-0 as we start inching second by second and second closer to halftime. And it's not like the game was getting good here. The game was good from kickoff. So there is no getting happening here. But it definitely, we saw a moment in the game shift a little bit, because we got to see VAR introduced in CONCACAF W Championship. We knew going into this tournament that it was going to be an in-game resource for the officials, and we got our first look at its usage. I hope it's not going to be indicative of what we're going to see throughout the remainder of the tournament. But just ahead of halftime, we see a collision here between Borgella and O'Hara. We see studs to the ribs. So much of the reaction that we saw around this, Lisa, whether it was from our colleagues in the studio mm-hmm. on this game, Allie and Lisa both calling the game in real time.
Christina Uncle, the rules specialist for CBS, who also gave incredible insight. She was called on so much throughout this broadcast. My goodness.
And it was just the first instance
in which
they brought her in to sort of get her feedback from.
But look at this. As Borgella goes up to kick this ball, it's reckless. She goes up, studs up. O'Hara goes down screaming, crying. She is clearly in pain, and it's called a red card initially by the center official. Then they go to VAR and they look at it. And again, thank you, Christina Uncle, who explained this to us, what they were looking at. It's to see if Borgella pulled her leg back at all, if it was malicious intent. If I think Uncle said something along the lines of like, if her knee was bent as she went into it, and that's why they end up calling it back. Sandra, I don't understand how this is not a red card. Like, thank you, Christina Uncle, for explaining it. And like, I'm listening to you and I understand you and I trust you and I respect you. And I respect
I hear the words coming out of your mouth.
But like, as a former player, as someone that watches this game so intently, I do not understand how this is not a red card. It ends up just being a yellow card, but it studs up. It doesn't matter if she tried to pull back in the end of it. Why is her foot going that high? It should have been a red. It should have been a red. Haiti should have been playing down for the next 45 minutes. Haiti really got away with a very lucky one.
Especially, I just looking at it and sort of watching it unfold in real time, knowing that the call in the moment was a straight red. This official issue pulled the card, knew the card that she was pulling out. Said, this is a red. You're about to, and then calling in with the video assistant referee and then going all the way to the camera to just sort of submerge yourself and just get more. I was like, clarity on what exactly.
I know. I mean, even everyone in our chat right now, thank you guys for dropping your knowledge and dropping your thoughts.
Is the chat going off?
Still should have been a red. Didn't look like she pulled back to me. That was a red. Like, stuck to the body. Should have been a red. Yes.
I don't know if we have
this. Interesting.
I don't know if we have this available for the audience who is live right now with us, but there is a moment where people are reacting to this game in real time and they start pulling up some of the images that are coming out of this game. And there's an official like watermarked Getty image going around, and it's of O'Hara pulling up her jersey and showing full on cleat marks on the side of her ribs. It's just like making a case perhaps. But it's just frustrating because I'm like, I don't think a case needs to be made in that scenario when I think all sort of saw the same thing happen. I think maybe there's like this whole concept of like, oh, like she didn't mean it. Is there intent behind it, et cetera? There's the argument of like, oh, technically is it or is it not a 50-50 ball, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, when you are lifting your leg that high, even if you are attempting to, contend for a 50-50 ball, the elevation, the direct contact studs to the side, it's a red. It's a straight red for me too.
It's a red. Everyone thinks it's a red. Even Allie Wagner, Lisa Byington, the two lovely ladies on the call for this game in the studio, we had Kaylin Kyle being like, this is a red. She saw her coming. O'Hara saw her. It was bad. And O'Hara's going in with her face. You can see this studs and the cleat is inches, centimeters from O'Hara's face in this call. You can see it right there, how close it is. And then the fact that O'Hara does have marks and everything. I just can't believe it.
It's painful.
We're all in agreement. It should have been a red.
Well, my thing is this too. This is like this is the first we see this. This is the first instance of the usage of VAR in this tournament. And again, my hope is that it just doesn't set like a precedent for the use that like how it's going to be utilized further down the line within this tournament whenever it does get called into action. So it's funny to even sort of be talking about that now, knowing that we are going to have more incidents to talk about throughout the duration of this game. We still have an entire second half to get through for you all, because that is how the first half ended, with a review from VAR confirmed, not confirming that it's a red, but rescinding the red, only issuing a yellow. You have the Haitian side, the players saying thank you, knowing that they got a pretty generous call.
That's a huge break for the Haitians.
It goes into stoppage time. It bleeds into stoppage time. And this is how the first half ends. It is a 2-0 lead for the United States, and Haiti gets all of their players still on the pitch. We're going to talk about how the second half of this game rolled out right after a quick break.
Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear, plus my friends in the third row, and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, let's talk about how this second half unfolded for the United States women's national team against Haiti. We had some immediate substitutions taking place in this one right out of halftime. We had Mitch Purse coming on in for Sophia Smith, Ashley Sanchez coming on in for Rose Lavelle in the just ahead of the hour mark, and then Sophia Huerta coming in just past the hour mark. So seeing some adjustments made from Black Lisa, and you know, we've been covering this team for a very long time under Andonovsky specifically. This is not a strange occurrence for him and his coaching staff. We definitely see player rotation throughout these matches.
And it's very common also to see it at halftime, at the 45-minute mark, especially when the U.S. is up to nil at this point over Haiti. And despite Haiti having two really good chances, three even, Casey Murphy had a number of good saves throughout the first half. This was a normal rotation to see. I think that having Purse come in was a little bit surprising for me, as opposed to maybe Hatch or someone else. Now, I understand that Alex Morgan at this point has a brace. She is playing incredibly well, so you're not going to pull out an Alex Morgan at halftime by any means. But in terms of bringing on Mitch Purse, I was pretty surprised at that, because I was surprised that Purse was called into this camp on this 23 roster, just the lack of what she's done with club and in Gotham and the NWSL. And then the fact that she gets 45 minutes in this game was a bit surprising to me. I want to just, someone in the chat mentioned, if Macario was here, would it have been the question of Alex Morgan and Ashley Hatch getting the start initially? No, I think Kat Macario would have 100% gotten the start in this match and played out. Maybe Vlaka would have looked at a Macario versus Morgan to initially get that start, but ultimately I think Kat Macario would have gotten it. Now, she's not called in and she's not in this tournament for the U.S. She has a torn ACL, but subs at halftime, changing the game a little bit for the U.S. for sure.
Well, I'm glad Mitch Purse is on this roster, because let me tell you something. Yeah. She came through clutch towards the end, but we got to build up to this moment for Purse on the goal for a little bit, because again, we have the start of a second half that sees the arrival of some substitutions coming on into play. And, you know, I did wonder if Smith might have been on a brief like minutes restriction. We saw her start this game with some wrap around that thigh, perhaps trying to target the hamstring area a little bit. So I do wonder a little bit if that's something that everyone's going to be keeping an eye on, just, you know, whether it's the staff, coaching staff, PTs, and of course us who are, you know, watching and covering the game or watching as fans of the team. So maybe something planned perhaps, you know, for the coaching staff. And maybe you think, you know, purse for Smith, perhaps a like for like sub, a player who can play along the front line, get in line, whip them in, right? Provide some similar service, perhaps, especially if the game plan is to try to target your forward a little bit more at times. But I'm also a little bit curious of, you know, the subs that were made around that hour mark that I was talking about with Sophia Huerta coming in for Kelly O'Hara, for Christy Mewis coming on in for Lindsay Horan. Again, another player who we have been keeping our eye on because A, she's a good player, and B, we noticed that she's been playing with a knock for quite some time, whether it's been for Lyon, where she won the UWCL championship, or with this United States women's national team, entering the pitch also kind of wrapped up around the knee there. So we saw a couple players coming on off the pitch, knowing that they're going to be navigating a couple of injuries there. But I think the inclusion of Huerta, the inclusion of Mewis, I think providing some different looks there for this team down the stretch of the, I guess we'll refer to as the second half of the second half here.
For sure. I think they did provide so much. I think O'Hara had a good match, right? She got the assist on the second goal to Alex Morgan, but the substitute in for Smith and Purse, you're right. It's a like-for-like substitution, and Purse ends up being a huge catalyst in getting, another goal that ends up being offside, and then another goal. She ends up with the third for the U.S., the final goal of this match. Sanchez coming on for Lavelle. I was really pleased about that substitution, and Horan being on limited minutes, right? As you talked about, Sophia Smith being wrapped up, Horan being wrapped up. I imagine we'll see Horan being on limited minutes. I was surprised Andy Sullivan got as many minutes as she did, to be honest, in this one. We know that she is also coming back from injury. She hasn't played that many minutes with Washington Spirit, her NWSL club team. Perhaps she's been feeling really good in training, right? That's one thing that I always try to keep a level head about. Like when I saw Purse being subbed in initially, I was like, what's happening here? Like I knew that Smith was dealing with a bit of a knock, but I was a little surprised. And I honestly said out loud, maybe she's doing something in training that we're not seeing. Maybe there's something happening that we're not seeing as media and as fans. And that's got to be it, right? Like she's called into this camp. She comes on and she's a catalyst in the attack, creating opportunities, taking on players in the attack. She's creative. She's confident in her abilities. That's what Vlach Wendanowski wants. And we weren't necessarily getting that too much from Smith, but perhaps dealing with that bit of that injury. And then the like for like in Sophia Huerta and Kelly O'Hara for sure is a good substitute. But there was a number of other times VAR was used in this second half. We saw it being used so frequently. There was also a number of offside calls that came into play as well in this one that maybe weren't even called offside, but just a no PK called ultimately against one of the goals that happened for Purse, it ends up being offside.
I think we have to talk a little bit about how VAR came into play a little bit more down the stretch here in this second half. There was a moment where Pugh goes down inside the box and there's contact there. We see some contact through the back inside the box. And Pugh sits up saying, hey, like hands up, shoulders up, like we're not going to take a look at what's going on here. But they do review this moment as Pugh has the ball, dribbles on into the box and takes the challenge and takes the contact. And as they review this, though, Lisa, it ends up being that the call stands as a no call. So it's a no call on the pitch. This is what happens from the official. The no call happens during the play, saying, no, we see the official with the body language saying, nope, no call there. And then hearing on the earpiece, let's take a look at it, making the review, and it stands.
Exactly. As soon as we saw the center official go like this and she made the box signal with her hands, I was like, okay, it's going to be a PK. The U.S. will get another one. At this point, it'll be 3-0 for the U.S. And Pugh doesn't get this call. I was incredibly shocked by that. and how that happened, right? I mean, but clearly the referee is seeing something that we weren't seeing in this sense. And Pew just distraught that she doesn't get this call. It's a clear takeout. There are two instances. There's the first one where the player steps on her foot, and then the second one where Hades' right foot gets Pew's right foot, and that's the second trip up. A card, a PK, but nothing called in this one. So VAR used and doesn't benefit the United States by any means. I still like that there is VAR for sure, though.
I do wonder if, again, the officials are going to get access to all the angles that we're not privy to. I do wonder if they saw something on the service into the box, if it was offside, if that was something that sort of negated some things, even though advantage was perhaps it was the advantage that was played because of that. There's a number of things there. Unsure, unclear, you know, we're unable to get more in-depth things from officials themselves on this type of stuff. But
these are the moments where I wish it was like American football, where the official gets to tell everyone exactly what's happening with their words. But hey, I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I do know on the broadcast, it was like, you know, they were talking about the offside before, but it was still called, it was still reviewed, and people were still taking a look at it. So we're going to talk about it here.
Even if it was offside, they didn't take a spot from where the player was offside, right? They took it as a 6-yard kick as the ball went out of bounds. So no, it's not called a penalty kick, but it also wasn't called offside. So what are they doing? Just denying both of those plays? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's talk a little bit about how this third goal for the team eventually made its way onto the scoreboard, because there was a moment here after this moment with the contact in the box for Pew. There's a moment where Megan Rapinoe subs into the game, connects inside the box with Purse, but this is another opportunity here that's called offside as well. Looking back on the footage of this one for the game here, I was like, well, the way this is going, maybe this is the one that's going to stand. The fact that we had VAR utilized a few times throughout the duration of this game, I'm like, okay, they got the breakthrough here, you know, the 3-0. Maybe they're going to review this, and maybe it's gonna stand 3-0. But no, they go to VAR. They say, listen, this was definitely offside.
I know.
And you know what? That's actually a call that I agree with. It's a call that
I agree too.
Saw the angles and the plays on that, I was like, okay, yeah, this one's actually the right call here.
I agree completely. Rapinoe is offside, and then as the ball comes in, Purse gets it. It almost looked like an own goal, but then Purse gets it. It is called back. And for everyone wondering why Megan Rapinoe was called in, why she's getting minutes, right, as a veteran, if she's just there to lead, that is why, because she steps on the pitch and she is able to create. You see how she loses the ball from her front, loses the ball. The defender gets it. She's able to win it back quickly. She turns and plays this really cheeky curved ball into the box. Now, granted, she was offside before she even collected the ball, so like 20 seconds before this play happens. But as she plays this really cheeky chipped ball in, it's got a lot of texture on it, a lot of curl, and it is able to go to the back post. That's why Megan Rapinoe is there, because in just a few minutes of being on the pitch, her first handful of touches, she can create something that hasn't been created throughout the first 80 minutes of this match. It was truly impressive to see, but it ends up being called off. And then just a few minutes later, a pretty similar play happens. The ball gets banked around the box, and Midge Purse ends up getting a goal that actually counts, because the first one was called offside.
Lisa, let's run it back, because it was like, is this game going to actually have more in the limited minutes that are left? Are we going to see this scoreline bump a little bit? I know for me, I was excited to have this game end 3-0, because I made a prediction. Yeah. I threw a scoreline, I made a prediction, and I said, listen, I want 3-0 in this game, the United States against Haiti, because I just didn't. I did not believe that this United States team, as it's currently assembled, was going to come out here against this Haiti side and rack up goals. We just didn't believe that here at Attacking Third. I mean, Lisa, you've got them picked as your dark horse. We've enjoyed watching them play in their qualification process in the lead up to this tournament. We've been very impressed with their players and what they've been doing on the pitch. So while for some 3-0 is maybe a blowout, for me, for years past, when this team has gone up against Haiti, 3-0 is not a blowout by any means. So sort of seeing the way this goal came to life, Mitch Purse got her goal. She got her goal, 3-0 for the United States. This one, not offside at all. It was a delight to see her go ahead and get that. Love how it works out. You could just sort of see the relief on her face too as we sort of play this back live for everybody on YouTube. Just sort of like, all right, there it is. That's the one. It counts. And really good service here from Christy Muniz. I really liked her positioning in this one as well. I just really do think that the substitutions had a real impact in this second half for the team against Haiti.
I think they definitely did. I mean, right, Mua sending this beautiful ball in and tracking back to win it defensively. It's a lot of the buildup that comes from this. And then as Purse controls it one touch and then strikes it one touch, it's just two touches before it finds the back of the net. And it's calm, cool, collected, composed. A player that right maybe has been fighting to get spots and fighting to get minutes in this match. And she does it so seamlessly. And it is just relief on her face. And you mentioned it, Sandra, that 3-0, yeah, this is a great win. It's a shutout for the U.S., but for this Haiti side, they were a team that could have came in here and truly dominated against different opponents, perhaps in a different group, right? Like maybe we look at a team like Haiti and how they perhaps didn't get the luckiest draw being in this group with Mexico, with Jamaica, with the United States. It's a really tough group. And Haiti putting in such a big fight against the United States. It was really impressive to see. It was a really good game to watch. I'm excited to watch Haiti throughout the rest of this tournament and see how they do, see when they get that goal, because goals are coming for them, right? 44 goal differential throughout the qualifiers and knocking on the door. One off the post, one nearly missing. Casey Murphy with a huge save on a third. This game could have been 3-3.
I would have loved to have seen it. I hope I still do get to see it. I mean, great players on the Haitian side there. I mean, Dumornay, I thought, had an outstanding game today. I'm curious to see how this team looks going up against a Jamaica or going up against a Mexico side in this group stage. This was just game one, you know, and I think if you're on the Haiti side of things, that's what you have to tell yourself, that you still had a good game plan going into this game. You executed as best that you could. Unfortunately, the goals just weren't there in this match. And we'll see what happens with this team when they do go up against the other opposition in this group. But as of right now, at the timing of this live recap, United States on top of Group A. We're going to wrap it up because there's another game that folks here want to take a look at, myself included. Vamos, Mexico.
Included as well. Let's go. I was like, Sandra, we got to go right after U.S. We got another game at 10. They planned this perfectly for us, so we can go watch.
They knew. They said, Sandra Herrera, she's got to go see 3 Femenil. We got to go right now. So we appreciate everybody hanging out with us here, recapping USWNT versus Haiti. Listen, quick reminder, we're nominated for the Best Female Hosted Podcast category in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So we appreciate it if you all enjoy the work that we do here at Attacking Third, that you show us enough love and go ahead and nominate us to advance into the final round. To nominate Attacking Third, you got to go to podcastawards.com/app/signup and then toggle on down to the Female Hosted Podcast category. And the whole process takes just about 60 seconds. We've gone ahead and included the link at the top of the episode description for you to go ahead and help us out there. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Attacking Third. Thanks for nominating us for Best Female Hosted Podcast. You can vote for A3 at podcastawards.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe, youtube.com/attackingthird. And we will be back to cover the CONCACAF W Championship in-depth all tournament long, with in-depth preview and live U.S. Women's National Team recaps. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.